From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, why does Texas have such a low voter turnout?
There's a huge part of our growing minority and other population that is not voting and is not participating, and we do believe that we will not have a healthy and strong state until everyone is at the table and participating in democracy.
There's such a long history of political repression in Texas that you can't help but, to some extent, sympathize with people who haven't seen any record of influence for their community.
This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Millions of dollars are being spent on campaigns. Thousands of man-hours are dedicated to promoting candidates and shaping their policies, all to capture votes for one political point of view or another. Voting is the cornerstone of democracy, but voting isn't very popular in Texas. The state is consistently among the five worst states for voter turnout, and if more people did vote, then you could expect that the public policies of the state would be less extreme. One nonprofit, nonpartisan group wanted to find out why so many Texans choose not to vote. The group Texans Together held a focus group in southwestern Harris County. On August 9, 2012, they gathered a racially diverse, modest to lower income set of folks. The facilitator, Anna Rivetta, wanted to know what it would take to get them to go vote.
What could make you decide to vote in an election?
I think nothing really anymore, because it feels like everything is plotted.
What do you mean?
So in the end, it doesn't make a difference if you vote or not.
Okay.
Because even for if you voted, your vote is counted. It's counted, but it's not going to make a difference because other people, more people can vote for something else and that's going to win over it, but it's still going to be the same thing over it.
Okay. But you said something, it doesn't make a difference anymore. Did it make a difference before? And did you vote before? I mean,
no, I don't think so. Because before I really wasn't interested because I was younger. Mm-hmm. But now that I see how everything, I think that back then it was a little bit better, like mm-hmm. the whole world. Mm-hmm. And like the gas prices and everything. And now it's like everything has changed.
So there's nothing, there's not an issue, there's nothing that will make you vote? Okay, okay. What is that one thing that will make you vote?
I don't think I will ever vote.
Why not?
I registered last year, and never voted.
Are you all registered to vote in this room?
Yeah.
Every one of you is registered to vote? Yes? And you still won't vote at all? So why did you register to vote?
My husband.
Does he vote?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why don't you?
It's just not something, I don't know, I'm just not, I don't feed into it, you know, like I said before, I don't know the person, don't care to know the person, he doesn't know me, so it's not going to benefit me at all.
That was a focus group of non-voters gathered in southwestern Harris County, talking about why they don't vote. The event was organized by the nonpartisan group Texans Together. Fred Lewis is the director of Texans Together.
A Texans Together Education Fund is a nonpartisan nonprofit that civically engages the historically disengaged. And that's everything from getting people organized on community projects to being civically engaged to improve things in their neighborhoods to voting to issue advocacy.
You did some focus groups in the Houston area to find out attitudes about voting?
That's right. We did two focus groups in an area of modest to lower income people that is very multicultural and very diverse, but where people don't vote very much.
So why was this something that Texans Together wanted to do?
Because there's a huge part of our growing minority and other population that is not voting and is not participating, and we do believe that we will not have a healthy and strong state until everyone is at the table and participating in democracy.
Do you think there's a connection between areas level of voter participation and the amount of public services they receive?
Oh, absolutely. I think one of the reasons that our state underinvests in our children and underinvests in our future and our infrastructure and our public health is because the working poor and working people who really need those services are not voting in our state and not getting the services their families need, not only for them, but so that all of us have a productive society and economy.
So what were people telling you about their vote and why they weren't voting in these focus groups?
What these folks were telling us is that they lacked faith that their vote would make a difference in their lives, that they weren't very informed about what the issues were, and they basically didn't think it would make any difference if they voted.
It's like they don't even need voter suppression in some parts of Texas because people do it to themselves with that kind of attitude.
It is interesting that although people sometimes consciously decide not to vote because of their cynicism and apathy and lack of information, they really don't like it when people try to make it more difficult for them to vote or to take their vote away. It's paradoxical.
It sounds self-defeating to say, I don't think I should vote because it doesn't really matter, and what's one vote? And I mean, you can kind of see the logic of that, but then again, they don't understand that when you do vote in mass, that you're able to actually bring about great change?
I think that there is reason to have hope, and I think people can learn the importance of voting and the importance of participating. But we're going to have to do things differently. People, working people, the working poor, are very cynical that the system won't respond to them and won't address their needs. And I call it well-earned cynicism because they've seen very little changes in their lives and in their community. So what would make a difference, or what makes a difference, is if they begin participating in projects to improve their community, work on things small and large that make their lives better, and then see a concrete relationship between their work and participation in voting and improvements in their lives.
That's encouraging. How do you get people to do that?
Actually, I think there's a lot of hope. What we need to do in Texas to have people participate who have not been participating and to vote who have not been voting is to engage them in civic projects and community organizing all year round. A lot of people do not see the benefits of participating. They don't know how to. And so what we need to do is show people how to band together to improve their library or improve their schools or their drainage, and show people, teach people the civic skills they need so they can participate on their own behalf to improve their own lives and community.
Also, it seems that people are very cynical when it comes to a politician who just shows up during election season. And who is this guy? He wasn't here a year ago when I really needed somebody to try and figure out some of these issues that I've been dealing with. And now that he wants my vote, here he is on my doorstep.
That's absolutely right. Elected officials do not go into these communities, into working poor and working people community, until election time. And when they come, people haven't seen any change in their lives. They haven't seen promises honored. So political candidates are often the worst messengers for people to participate. The best messengers are people from the community, grassroots community leaders who are involved in the community and improving community, and for them to talk to their community about the importance of participating and voting. So it really is best if the impetus for voting and for participating comes from within the community, from developing leaders within the community who know and understand the community.
Some people with a jaundiced eye would look at this group of people who don't want to vote, and they would say, I'm glad they're not voting because these are what I would call low information voters. You know, they're probably
The problem is if we have a large group of people who are not voting, then we are not going to have a healthy democracy. We're not going to have a society that takes care of and addresses the needs of these communities. The fastest growing part of our population is young people, Latinos, lower income people. And if their education and health care and other issues aren't addressed, then we're going to be a poor, less educated society. And that's not only not good for them, it's not good for our state.
What about the issues of actually going out to vote on Election Day or during early voting? Are the people in these groups, are they really that overwhelmed with work and with child care and with transportation issues? Is it really that hard? Does it require focused energy, concentrated effort to get them to the polling booth?
I think it's a combination. I do think we do have a good number of barriers. We make registration not easy. People do have transportation needs and problems since we don't have much public transportation. People do work on Election Day. Some people don't understand early voting. But I do believe that a bigger problem than that, and some of the impediments recently to voting, that a bigger problem than that is people not understanding why it matters if they vote.
And is voter ID something that comes up as a problem?
Sure. People do understand that voter ID is out there. And in our focus groups, they believe that it was would disenfranchise a number of people in their community who didn't have driver's licenses or other photo ID.
So, Fred, what is the secret sauce to get people to participate?
The secret sauce is to engage people year-round, to involve them in projects of their choosing, to have them learn the value of participating. You can't just show up 2 days before an election, knock on their door, and tell them it's important to vote. We have to show people by their own participation and their own successes in improving their lives that voting matters. And we know that works because it's worked in Harris County with Texans Together, and it's worked in other states that have much better voting participation than we do.
Fred Lewis is the director of Texans Together, an organization that works with communities in Harris County to help bring them improved public services. Part of the effort is to encourage area residents to go vote. October 9th is the last day to register to vote for the upcoming general election. Early voting begins on October 22nd and ends on November the 2nd. Election Day is November the 6th. Getting more people to vote, particularly Latinos, is a strategy being adopted by the Texas Democratic Party. And some have argued that the state's Republican Party is working to dampen voter participation by passing legislation that makes it harder to register to vote, disempowers minority communities through redistricting, and requiring voter ID. University of Texas at San Antonio political science professor Walter Wilson says not voting has become part of the political culture for some in Texas.
Turnout in Texas, generally speaking, I think is a bit lower than many other parts of the country. And, you know, there are a number of reasons for that. I mean, part of it, I think, is political culture. You know, Texas shares a lot of characteristics with other southern states and, you know, the kind of legacy of a one-party system in the past and so on, I think, you know, has over time created a political culture where political participation simply is not as ingrained in Texans as it may be in some other states.
And other than the fact that culture, can you get a little more specific? What about the culture?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, that's a very general take on political participation in Texas. I think that, you know, probably the most important patterns of turnout that you may be interested in relate to the Hispanic population. And here, you know, we see generally low patterns of turnout in elections and other forms of political participation as well. And this is even, I believe, in compared a comparison to other states like California. And I think there are a number of reasons for that. Political culture may only be kind of a root cause. In Texas, we have what I would call not necessarily barriers to participation, but barriers to political influence. And those are the root of low participation, especially among Latinos and other minorities in Texas. And what I mean by barriers to influence is that, unlike a lot of other states in the Southwest, Texas has been fairly aggressive about establishing patterns of districting that result in a situation where Latinos can either be taken for granted or written off entirely by candidates running in those districts. You know, if we look at congressional districts, for example, Latinos make up the supermajority of about half a dozen districts here in Texas, where they make up more than two-thirds of the electorate. If you compare that with California, while there are some very high Latino population districts, there are also a lot of districts that are much more close to, say, 50% Latino. And that creates a situation where candidates have a greater incentive to appeal to Latinos. So Democratic candidates here in Texas, if they have very large Latino populations in their district, I think they're often taken for granted, and that means that they're not mobilized at election time. A great example is the win for Blake Fahrenthold in District 27 in 2010, where he caught the incumbent Solomon Ortiz by surprise. Ortiz did almost no campaigning in his district, and he lost by 800 votes. He took the Latino electorate for granted, and they didn't show up. And that's a general trend in most districts in Texas where Latinos comprise a majority.
Right. So when you talk about culture, though, you know, Texas had Jim Crow laws. We had what some people call Jaime Crow laws, mm-hmm. or keeping the Mexican-American voters away from the polls during up until the civil rights. And so there's still kind of the specter of that.
Well, you know, I think it's hard to say that, you know, those kinds of events are, you know, in the forefront of the minds of younger voters in Texas. They may very well, you know, shape some of the attitudes of older Latinos and other minority voters in the state. But I do think that, you know, this kind of culture and you know, the recent voter ID laws are part of a legacy of earlier institutional efforts to lower participation among lower socioeconomic status groups. But, you know, I think the kind of culmination of these factors definitely leads to an attitude that minority voters lack efficacy in Texas. The results are largely predetermined by rules that set up barriers to influence, as I said. And so, you know, I think many minority voters feel as though even if they're in a district where they may be on the winning side of elections, that they're taken for granted because there's no real incentive for the elected representatives to be active in the community and active in cultivating support because they know that the Republican Party is not competitive in that district. By contrast, in districts where, you know, Latinos may make up a sizable portion of the electorate, but not enough to, you know, perhaps command a majority. They're written off entirely, I think, by many Republican candidates, and so we have a situation where, in either case, there's really little influence for the community in our elections because they're so non-competitive.
The theory is that the Democrats, Gilberto Hinojosa, the chair of the Democratic Party, mm-hmm. saying if we can get Latinos to go vote, we can turn Texas blue tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We don't have to wait another couple of election cycles.
Right. And, you know, I think that that's easier said than done simply because there
is... But is it true?
I think that he might be a bit optimistic in terms of his time frame, but I do think that
he's saying if we can do it. So if they have the secret sauce and they figure out how to do it and they can mm-hmm. get people to vote tomorrow mm-hmm. in the upcoming, would that dramatically change the outcomes in Texas?
I think it could, yes. I think that if all eligible voters in Texas cast ballots on Election Day, we would see Texas not as a red state, but as an extremely competitive state and one that was in transition to becoming a blue state. I mean, look, you know, there's such a long history of political repression in Texas that you can't help but, to some extent, sympathize with people who haven't seen any record of influence for their community, and that doesn't give them much expectation that, you know, all of a sudden voting will make a difference. Now, you know, but these are the kinds of attitudes that are changed over time, not overnight.
Walter Wilson is a professor of political science at the University of Texas at San Antonio. We're talking about why Texas has a lower voter turnout compared to most other states and what it would take to get higher voter participation. Saul Elbein writes about that in the current issue of the Texas Observer in the article No Shows, Why So Few Texans Bother to Vote.
We're consistently in the lowest ranked states in terms of overall voting, and then minority voting tracks way below that. And in some ways, I think, drags the overall number down.
Other states with same demographics are doing better.
Other states with similar demographics are doing better. I would be hesitant to say there's any one-to-one comparison with Texas. Specifically, if you look at Latino participation, pretty much every other Latino-rich state has a Latino population that votes at a higher rate than Texas does. What I can say is that there's an assumption that a lot of people make that voting is the default, and they forget that voting is a choice and sometimes a costly, inconvenient, annoying choice. And there's an assumption that people will just make that choice of how to spend their time immediately without anybody going to them and saying, listen, here is the reason why you would want to do that. I think there's a lack of awareness that voting kind of sucks a lot of the time and that it's not a thing that you would do just because. Unless you were raised to believe that you should do it just because, and perhaps not even then, as we see with the low participation of people in my demographic, which is to say, you know, young, college-educated children of upper-middle-class parents.
But voting sucks more for some people than it does for others.
For sure.
So if you're working a job, you have transportation issues, you've got childcare issues, you don't have a lot of flex time in your day. And if you don't have those things, if you're retired, if you've got a car, and you got nothing else to do that day, you know, who's going to go vote?
Right, right.
So we have to raise the stakes? Or is that what some people are trying to do? Is that what activists are trying to do or trying to explain, that it is worth the effort to vote, even though it requires concentrated effort on your part?
Okay, well, I think part of the problem is that we focus this conversation on voting itself. I had a lot of activists tell me in a number of different words, they would all have their own little aphorism for this, but one of the most popular was democracy doesn't only happen on Election Day. And the problem is that there's this focus in campaigns and focus in a lot of political activism on just getting people to vote. And there's not a focus on actually building political participation. Now, voting by itself is great, but it's not the same thing as daily engagement with the system, as being involved in your school board, doing all of these sort of lower, less sexy things that that are also political participation. And so I think what's worked in places like Colorado, where there's been a really successful effort to up the voting numbers of traditionally low propensity voters, is creating those that day-to-day contact and that day-to-day activism. So I talked to one activist who ran the Colorado thing, who said, we help people with pocketbook issues, with, you know, fighting a home heating bill. One of the things that's worked in Houston was, in Houston there's one neighborhood, the near north side, where there's where CenterPoint Energy has a right-of-way. And one activist there was telling me that CenterPoint would, they have these high tension lines and they have green space under there, and they're required by law to police it and make sure that people aren't dumping stuff there. Well, in the near north side, people were dumping stuff there. And when residents, according to this activist, whenever residents would call CenterPoint and say, hey, there are tires in the middle of this greenway, can you stop? CenterPoint would just say no. Well, that's a political issue. I mean, if you can get people together and help them to make a visible change in their neighborhood, then for one thing, that goes a long way to showing that you can affect change in the system. And two, it builds political participation. I think that mostly is what's lacking, is that you're just going out and voting on election day is, I think people are justifiably cynical about the effect that has and the amount of effort that it's worth taking to do it.
Also, this Crips versus Bloods, Democrats versus Republicans framing of the election, and when people who don't really have a party affiliation, they're just looking for some sort of services.
Yeah, I think that's probably about right.
What are you hearing from people when they explain to you why they don't vote?
System's broken, basically. You know, it doesn't matter because we don't have any money. We don't have any power. It doesn't matter what we do. People with money are just going to change it. I mean, there's also a lot of conspiracy theories, too. And I won't claim to be in a position to really speak for, you know, the people. But I can. But it was mostly stuff like that.
When people hear that if they did vote or if there was a change in Austin or Washington, D.C., that would they believe that it would dramatically impact their lives?
I didn't ask that specific question to all that many people. My inclination would be no.
That it's just, why bother to go vote? Why take time out of my busy day to go through this hassle? It's not even going to really matter to my life.
Right. And that's a hard thing, I think, for a lot of people specifically Anglos to understand. My grandmother, I was staying with her in Houston while I was researching the story, and she just did not understand why anybody would register to vote and then not vote. Just couldn't get it.
We hear about these voter suppression efforts like voter IDs and trying to make it harder to register to vote and purging. Has that trickled down to the level of it's like, well, I wasn't going to vote anyway, so it didn't really matter?
I think the important thing with all the voter suppression is not that it's not important or unfair or possibly illegal. The issue with those is that none of that would really work if people were engaged and were wanting to militate to exercise their rights. I mean, it's not 1963 anymore. You can't physically keep people from voting. You can't lynch people who try to vote. Nobody's doing that. So really it's a question of just making it a little more costly, making it a little more annoying, making it a little harder, and shaving a few percentage points off the number of people who will be able to vote. I mean, so that's a factor, but it's partly only a factor because the populace is so disengaged.
Saul Elbein is a freelance journalist, and he's written the article, No Shows, Why So Few Texans Bother to Vote. It's in the current issue of the Texas Observer, and you can read the piece online at texasobserver.org. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you for listening. You can write to Texas Matters with an email to texasmatters@tpr.org. And we've got lots of past Texas Matters programs on our archive online at tpr.org. And you can subscribe to the podcast for free on iTunes. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.